And now it's over to my friend, film critic Peter Malone, who heads the film office at CIGNAS, the World Catholic Association for Communication. Today he tells us about a film that I would describe as a tearjerker, but he argues is made with intelligence and insight.
My Sister's Keeper.
So real weepy.
Well, I don't know. I had a great difficulty with the rather, how shall I put it, seemingly insensitive reactions of the London critics. They somehow or other can't respond favourably to films which wear their hearts on their sleeve.
And what is your view of it?
It's an American film, and Americans wear their hearts on their sleeves. And if we are to be culturally respectful to one another, then I accept that. I mightn't like a lot of the sentiment, but I think that it seems to me silly to say that it's, say, a film like My Sister's Keeper is too emotional. I noticed that most of the top-class American reviewers didn't think it was emotional, didn't think it was manipulative.
Well, that's obviously a cultural issue then.
But it is, yes. Let's
start by telling listeners what it's about.
Well, I didn't know anything about it before I went in, so it was a bit of a shock, especially when the young actress Abigail Breslin, who's a very good young actress, started to tell us that she was actually the product of in vitro fertilisation to be a help for her older sister.
Most babies are accidents. Not me. I was engineered. Born to save my sister's life.
So that was a bit of a jolt, you know, just right from the beginning. And as the film went on, it raised all the issues about families helping one another with health, but also the identity and place and love in the family for the little child who was conceived for the purpose of helping her older sister.
Who is dying of cancer.
Who is dying of cancer, right. Yes, she's about 14.
My sister has been in renal failure for months now.
You're supposed to give her a kidney?
I want to see my parents for the rights to my own body.
Would you repeat that, please?
What's going on? Anna, you're suing us?
I don't want to do it anymore, Mom. It's my body. I want to be able to make my own decisions about what to do with it.
And it stresses that at one stage the lawyer asks Cameron Diaz, who plays her mother, how long has she been available? And Cameron Diaz actually says, since she was born.
From the moment we decided to genetically conceive, I suppose it was our fault.
But it's against her will, so how does that work?
We went against nature. We forced her into helping her sister.
So she's been in hospital, she's had all kinds of surgery, and how she sees herself then as loving her sister, she certainly wants to help her, but then wondering about her own life and what it'll mean when the sister eventually dies. So the gist of the film early in the piece is that she goes to a lawyer and asks for some kind of medical independence from her parents.
Which is, it seems to be a very legitimate desire.
It is, and the lawyer makes interesting case for it. He's played by Alec Baldwin, and there are some rather strong confrontation scenes between Alec Baldwin and Cameron Diaz, who plays a very serious role and is absolutely relentless in wanting to help the ill daughter and seems unable to see beyond that.
What is she doing out of the hospital?
We're going to the beach.
You take her to the beach, you're killing
her.
She's
going
to die.
You better come, because if you don't, I want a divorce.
In her head, I suppose she can, and she trained as a lawyer before she had the family, so the character has that kind of mentality. But her treatment of the daughter and talking about the issues and especially confronting her in the court, it's very strong stuff. And yes, maybe it's tearful, but I thought there was a lot behind the tears.
I don't mind my disease killing me, but it's killing my family too.
One thing I did notice, something that most of the critics who didn't like the film, as you said at the beginning, were saying, was that the acting is in fact fantastic in this film.
Yes, I was impressed by Cameron Diaz. She's obviously older than she used to be when she was with Jim Carrey in The Mask. And she gives a lot to the performance. And it's, I suppose for most people, you can understand her love for her daughter. But she just seems so relentless that she is alienating. And her husband, played by Jason Patrick, is rather low-key. He's much more sympathetic. He supports his wife. but he certainly is open to listening to the daughters. And there's an older son who's also been neglected, and there's a flashback that he had dyslexia when he was young and was sent away for a year to a camp. So he becomes crucial towards the end of the film when they're all in the court.
But what is the message at the end of the film?
But somehow, the very things that tore us apart...
Anna doesn't want to do it anymore.
I don't believe you.
You are hiding something, Anna.
Just tell him.
...would bring us together in ways we could have never imagined.
The message, I think, is that you have to allow people to die when the time is right and not be so controlling. I suppose it's that aspect of the church's constant teaching that you can't use absolutely extraordinary means just to keep people alive when in fact the whole system is failing and people are dying. And it means then that the young girl will have a life of her own. Some people criticise the ending because it is a bit American neat, in which we see everybody involved and they are certainly starting a newer and happier life, except for the girl who's gone to heaven.
That was Peter Malone, head of the film office at Cygnus, the World Catholic Association for Communication.